broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that I refuse to use. Nut Out continues now. This is hour two of two, June 23rd in the year of our Lord, 2020. To protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers is our goal. Last hour, we talked a bunch about the President Donald Trump rally, the mainstream press, dishonest as all get out. Hashtag honesty is the issue. I'm telling you right now, they're so dishonest, it's amazing. Fox TV broke records for time slots over the Trump rally that supposedly nobody attended. Most folks just decided because of travel restrictions and everything else, and they've been told for literally months not to go out. Most people just decided to watch it on TV. Millions of them. Millions. Millions, folks. Numbers that only Joe Biden could only dream of, right? Okay, but Kurt, you had some numbers that I didn't want to obliterate. Before we move on, let's just highlight those numbers that you had again. I didn't mean to dismiss them. I just wanted to put them in perspective and get people an understanding and then roll out those numbers. These numbers are beyond imagination, and they're being flat out ignored, Kurt.
Well, you know, you had the campaign saying that they had over 8 million viewers. And, you know, just like, for example, on our broadcast, you know how many times there's ways that people can hear it or listen to it in different ways. And some people say, well, how many listeners do you have? And I say, well, we don't really track them. We don't try to cramp them down and say, hey, if you don't sign up and pay a dues or whatever, you can't, you know, access this information. And I think the president feels the same way. How many of those, when I go on YouTube and bring up the Tulsa rally, you know, there's a lot of different sources there, ways to watch it. And so besides the live viewers that you were talking about, that Fox News was saying that Saturday evenings are typically not what you'd call a, I guess you could say, barn burner broadcast time. And they had, broken records there. And that's just Fox. As far as I could see, a number of the other networks, you know, they kind of wish they weren't there, but they have to be there because they're trying to cover that kind of stuff. And, you know, there's a lot of ways to watch that, both on local affiliates, streaming it, and then other places. So, I think those numbers are huge. And like you said, if you want to do the dueling rallies thing, let's
bring
them up if the media wants to do that. Let's see that.
Happen. Amen. I also want to talk about your situation, Kurt, because I think this is really important to understand. So Kurt did not attend the rally. So Kurt obviously doesn't care about the president at all. That's their lie. Okay, but you did not attend the rally, right, Kurt? You weren't there.
No, I mean, all right. Kurt didn't head to Oklahoma.
Kurt wasn't one of the millions that watched Fox either, were you, Kurt? You weren't there prime time.
No, I didn't watch it live on Saturday night.
No, you did not. So you don't care, do you, Kurt? No.
Well, according to them,
That's how they lie. This is what I'm getting at. So you weren't at the rally. You didn't watch it on Fox. You don't even count. But see, that's a lie. That isn't true. How did Kurt watch it?
Well,
you didn't watch it. Did you?
Right. According to them.
Well, did you watch it, though, Kurt?
I watched as much as I could of it last night.
Did you watch it or listen to it or what?
Out. Well, I was watching it. I had the audio that you gave me yesterday, but I never got around to, being able to listen to it.
All right. So there's where Kurt makes me go to work for nothing. But hey.
Well, I'll be listening to it later, as I can.
All right, so hold on. Wait a minute. You watched it, Kurt? If you don't have cable, buddy, you didn't watch it, did you?
Well, I watched it on YouTube,
wait a minute. You watched it on YouTube last night. How many days later, Kurt, did you watch it?
And that's Saturday, Sunday, Monday. That's 2 days later,
Whoa.
And I gave you the, connection to it or the link for it,
Yeah.
And how many other people get it that way?
Oh, millions,
if you
Kurt.
Ask me. Yeah.
Just ask Google if you don't believe me.
Well, they won't really tell you, I don't think. Do you think?
I don't, not with Trump's numbers, probably not. They'll probably be like, oh, man, for some reason there was a glitch in the algorithm and it didn't work or some goofy garbage. Okay, the truth That's is right. it's millions, folks. And so Kurt gave me the link. So I will actually not watch it on YouTube at all. Right. I will listen to it. But I'll listen to it from an MP3 file that was created. And what if 1,000 people listen to it via that MP3 file, Kurt? They didn't watch it. They don't care, do they? See, that's the lie being told. They do care. They might watch it or listen to it or whatever days later. They might receive a Liberty Roundtable live broadcast summary of it based on the notes we took and the points President Trump made, etc. Okay, but the idea that people don't care because they weren't there or that it's irrelevant because is a total, flat-out, complete lie.
Yep.
And how many more days might you give before people, you know, will stop or reduce watching it, Kurt? Do you know?
I don't know.
I do know. You want to know how I know?
Well,
because Nielsen knows everything, Kurt. And Nielsen tells you in the good times what it's supposed to be. Now, I don't know that I agree with them. I'm just telling you that how come they have different realities when it fits their narrative is what I'm getting at. What they normally say is, hey, new media now takes 14 days to consume, Kurt. And so you can't just do a snapshot of Saturday night or you know, whatever, you got to wait up to 2 weeks before you can, you know, categorize the real numbers. That's what they normally say, Kurt. Now they're not saying that. It's been how many days did you say, Kurt?
Well, for me, it was Saturday, Sunday night, Monday night, you know, and I didn't get it all finished, so I'll watch the rest tonight if I can get through it. You know
sure.
What I mean?
So it's 2 days instead of 2 weeks, though, Kurt. That's all it's been. And we're already throwing in the towel saying nobody cared. It wasn't important. It was an absolute failure, a misstep, a stumble, a horrible man. Okay, this is an absolute dishonest narrative, Kurt, that they're spinning. And I want to, for one, reject it. Okay,
you mean go, it's like fake news?
Well, beyond fake news, Kurt, it's criminal news almost. And I'll tell you why, because it really amounts to election fraud in the end, Kurt. When you lie about numbers and about support and about for so long, literally months. They've been at it for months, Kurt. Leading up to an election, you think it'll have an effect? How many people might not go to the polls as a result? How many people, okay, they're manipulating this till the cows, and I submit to you that it accounts to vote fraud. Now, President Trump has basically started to say now, Kurt, there might be vote fraud relating to foreign ballots. Did you see this, Kurt?
I don't remember this one, but I think there's vote fraud almost everywhere, if you really want to look.
All right, so they say expert, this is a headline from USA Today, don't you know? So, again, you watch the enemy press to keep an eye on what's going on. And again, whatever narrative they take, you want to look at with a very critical eye. That's why I highlight what they say. Not because I agree with them, but because the opposite, 9 times out of 10, is the truth. Okay? Just as Chuck Carter told us in the old days, you read a story upside down, you read the bottom of the story first, and you get the real meat of the story, the real news, what they're really saying. Well, what you got to do is monitor the mainstream press, and you got to look at what they say, and then just know that it's the absolute opposite, 9 times out of 10. Here's the headline from USA Today. Experts hit Trump's mail ballot worries. So what they do is they start out and they tell you about experts, supposedly, Kurt. So anything that anybody feels different, it goes against the experts, you know, don't you know, right? Okay, that's how they manipulate it. President Trump delivered a new line of attack on Monday in his, quote, crusade against expanded mail voting in November. President Trump warned, that mail-in ballots could lead to foreign countries printing ballots to undermine results. But, of course, voting experts and election officials swiftly disputed the claim, characterizing it as a bogus conspiracy theory from the president. Don't worry, the safeguards that states use to protect the, quote, authenticity of absentee ballots is no problem. Wow, there you go, Kurt. You see the dishonesty here? So we're not even going to consider that foreign countries might create fake ballots, Kurt. But yet in the 2016 election, we said foreign countries absolutely elected the Donald, right? Now, I'm using the Donald on purpose now because it's their negative narrative. we're talking about. They literally said that Donald got in bed with foreign countries, and that's how he stole the election. That's what they said then. Now, when President Trump is saying, wait a minute, you know, these mail-in ballots, the custody of the ballot's not there. Foreign countries might actually print ballots. And they're going, oh, no, that's a conspiracy whacked-out theory that a foreign country might help. Kurt, I mean, this is stranger than fiction stuff. Right?
Yep.
Wow.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. President Trump said it'll be the scandal of our times. Now, President Trump, they say, echoed a claim that Attorney General Bill Barr made on Fox News. He said these mail-in ballots absolutely open the floodgates to fraud. Right now, a foreign country could print up tens of thousands of counterfeit ballots, and it would be very hard for us to detect which one is the right and which one is the wrong ballot. So he finished by saying, I think it could upset and undercut the confidence and the integrity of our elections. You want to respond, Kurt?
Well, you know, I think you summed it up with that, basically that phrase. I mean, any of those things are done that portray the story differently than what it really is. They affect the election, Sam.
Wow. All right. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds. Sam and Kurt, hard-hitting talk. Can you take it?
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
All right, back with you live. So Bill Barr saying, hey, we could have vote fraud. We better stop it and do something about it now. President Trump highlighting that reality. Experts from the left come saying that it's not even possible for foreign countries to tamper with the elections and tamper with the vote by mail. And my response is, then how do they tamper so much? How can it have been such a big deal back in the 2016 election then if we have these, you know, integrity of votes and all that kind of stuff? It doesn't make any sense, Kurt. Right now, a foreign country could print up tens of thousands of ballots, counterfeit ballots, I might add, and it would be very difficult for us to detect which one was the right one and which was the wrong ballot. Now, this is something that I don't think you can debate, Kurt, because you don't have the custody of the ballots the whole way. Mail, I mean, look, they lose my packages in the mail all the time. So the bottom line is they're not on solid ground, but they're going to mock President Trump. And they're going to lie about the narrative over and over and over. All right, Kurt, before we get to your stories here, I want to bring up one more story here. There's a professor that spoke to a student, Kurt, about her name. So we're in the United States, and the professor said, hey, your name sounds like an insult. The professor's name is a guy by the name of Matthew Hubbard. He's now on administrative leave, ladies and gentlemen, at Oakland's Laney College. Okay? And I don't even know how to respond to this story exactly. Now, Kurt, so this Oakland professor's on administrative leave, and what he dared to say was, hey, this name of this girl is offensive. So he basically tried to explain to her why her name was offensive. And it was a meltdown, Kurt. All right? He wanted her to, quote, anglicize her name, Kurt, because it was offensive. It sounds like an insult in English, he says. Now, he teaches math at Laney College, this professor. He told the, quote, Vietnamese student by email to please change her name. That's what the San Francisco Chronicle is reporting. Could you anglicize your name, please, he says. Now, Kurt, I want to spell this name, and then I want you to write it down, and I want you to tell me how to pronounce it, okay? Ready?
Yep.
P-H-U-C. That's her name. Now, please tell me her name, sir. Okay, I get that you don't want to say it. I get it. I'm just, yeah. Okay, look. This is the point the professor's making, is how do you even say her name in class? You call out Steve, Larry, Tina, Melania, Sam, Kurt, Julie, okay? And then you get to this name and you go, whoa, P-H-U-C is literally her name. Her last name is B-U-I. So, Miss Bowie, it sounds like an insult in English, he's saying. But the student wrote back that his request feels discriminatory. And I will move forward with filing a complaint. Now the poor professor's on administrative leave. I don't know how to respond to this, Kurt. What do you think of the Oakland professor? Professor to student. Your name sounds like an insult. So now he's on administrative leave. I don't really know how to respond to this, Kurt, because I agree with the professor. Look, we're not trying to be offensive to her. What we're trying to say to her is that culturally in our language, that term, I know it's spelled differently. I get it. Instead of F-U-C-K, it's P-H-U-C. Okay, and I'm not saying in her language that it's a bad thing. I'm just saying in America, nobody wants to say that. And if you say that, then you could be barbecued at some point for, you know, using improper language in public or whatever. All I'm saying is, where do you go with this? You just can't win. And you would think that in our society, you would get people to go, hey, I'm grateful to be in America. I'm grateful to go to school here. I don't know if she's a citizen or a whatever. She's Vietnamese. I respect that. But all I'm saying is, you would think they should be grateful to say, oh my goodness, I'm a female. I don't want my name to be associated with that word. I thank you so much. I'm going to go by, you know, Lynn or Tina or I don't know. And I'm not saying that we need to destroy her culture. But an Oakland professor's on administrative leave over this? Yeah. Poor Matthew Hubbard, who teaches at Laney College. Wow. Kurt, do you want to respond to this one?
Well, it's, you know, I mean, this goes to the wastelands of American education. It goes to the craziness of American society, you know, where good is called evil and evil is called good. It goes to so many other things, you know, the affirmative action kind of crowd or the political correctness that we've got. My grandpa would have just said, hey, that's not going to work, so come up with something different. But
I can just call her Miss Booty, you know, then, if you're forced to just leave it alone, I guess.
Yeah, good point.
All I'm saying, though, is, look, I believe this professor's trying to help her. Which female wants to run around with a name like that in America? You would think that the poor woman would be insulted and go, oh, my goodness. In my culture, this is a wonderful name, and here's what it means. And I get that historical reality. I get that context, and I respect that context. But I know this. If I were to be in their culture, and my name somehow Sam, let's just say that it was a super offensive swear word, a Sam bomb, if you will, I would want someone to say, you know what, Sam, your name is an insult in our country, or your name is... Listen, here's what your name means in our country. I would want to know and be called something else. You know, please call me Kurt. Because I would not want my name associated with offensive language. But the idea that this poor guy is literally on administrative leave, and the idea that this girl, because we've in our culture, we promoted the underdog so much to the point where, I mean, she's going to defend her name being this word. Even though it's spelled differently, I get it. But she's going to defend it and say how wrong and evil this gentleman was to even bring it up to her. How dare he? And I'm going, I just don't get it. You would think that she'd be absolutely appreciative of his candor, whereas most people would be afraid to say something. But he's thinking, you know what, this dear girl in my class of Vietnamese descent has a name that, man, in our culture just doesn't work. And I want to let her know, because I care about her, and I want to make sure that she realizes. I want her to realize what's going on. But literally, she goes against him, and now he's on administrative leave, Kurt. This poor professor. We want her to anglicize her name. Because it sounds like an insult in English. I just don't know how to respond to this. And you could say, Sam, you're sure going on about this too long. I don't think so. Because I think this really demonstrates the problem in our society. Right? I think this epitomizes the problem we're facing in America. Should this professor have said something to this girl? I think it's a respectful, kind, non-racial attempt to help this girl, this Vietnamese girl. Okay? I don't think this guy meant any harm at all. I think he was actually, look, you got to think of it. What if this student was your daughter? And you understood the culture and customs and English ways and words in English, and you went, whoa. ma'am, I think that you ought to go by a different name in America, and here's why. I think that's a respectful thing to do. I think that this professor has honor. But in Oakland, California, flat out unacceptable. And I bring this up and spend so much time on it because I believe this epitomizes the problem we've got in this country, Kurt. What on earth? This professor can't let her know that her name, although spelled differently, when said out loud, is an incredible offensive term in our language. I mean, I'm inclined to look up the word to see if it's in the dictionary to tell you what the word means literally. Some people say it means for unlawful carnal knowledge. All I'm telling you is, what is this professor to do? Just keep shouting out her name? Wow.
Listen to the wind blow.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Mm-hmm.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Considered the nation's top infectious disease expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci, and the directors of the CDC and the FDA will be testifying before Congress today. They're to share their views on the health risks facing the nation amid spikes in coronavirus cases in about 20 states. The president of the Police Officers Federation of Minneapolis giving his first interview since four of that city's officers were charged in the death of George Floyd. Bob Kroll telling CBS This Morning he does not believe racism is systemic in the Minneapolis department.
I am the first African American ever elected to the Minneapolis Police Federation in 152 years. You know what I see? I see progress.
President Trump will be in Arizona today to view border wall construction and to hold a campaign rally. And this is USA Radio News.
Balance of nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I've had a lot of really great days back to back, which has been a huge blessing. Even my doctor told me, because they asked me to bring everything in that I take on a daily basis. He was very encouraged by seeing what I was taking. And he said he didn't care how many I had. And he said it's food. And the form that it's in was something that he was very, because he's an avid learner and he's always researching and he's always excited to see new things. And he told me this would be good. This will help you immensely with the nutrition that you need.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Start your journey to better health today by calling 1-800-246-8751 or by going to balanceofnature.com. And make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code USA.
Democrat Joe Biden's campaign saying it will not agree to any more than the three previously scheduled debates this fall with his opponent, Republican President Donald Trump.
Although formal invites by the Commission on Presidential Debates will be sent out after the nominating conventions this summer, the Biden campaign also made it clear their yet-to-be-announced vice presidential pick will also participate in their early October debate.
Police in the nation's capital able to stop protesters who tried but failed to take down a statue of President Andrew Jackson right across the street from the White House last evening. They formed a barrier in front of the statue and at one point used pepper spray to move the protesters back. Voters in a half dozen states will be holding primaries and in one state a runoff election today. The primaries are in Kentucky, Mississippi, New York, North Carolina, and Virginia. They've been delayed because of the pandemic. South Carolina's runoff for state-level offices are going on as originally scheduled. And this is USA Radio News.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, back to you live. Sam and Kurt, hard-hitting talk. By the way, the name that we're talking about, P-H-U-C, means blessing in Vietnamese. It means happiness and blessing, and I respect that, all right? It means blessing or happiness and is of Vietnamese origin. But I personally think this professor was doing her a serious, serious favor. But no. Kurt, did you hear that New York City Police Department cops are encouraged to go on strike on July the 4th? To give, quote, the city its independence, Kurt?
Yeah, I heard about that.
Now, what do you think of this?
Well, I think this, you know, that people, especially in those big cities, any of the good people ought to just be heading for safer territories, if you ask me.
Amen to that. All right, Kurt wants to talk about George Soros. Kurt?
Well, there are two stories, Sam, about this George Soros guy. One is an AP story, and then the other one is a story from the Washington Examiner. So the first story says, the headline, George Soros conspiracy theories surge as protests sweep U.S. And then they tell you these different things that they're kind of making fun of you about, that if you say these things or if you agree with any conspiracies, in other words, two people or more getting together about, you know, things. Maybe they're underhanded or, you know, tricky kind of things that, you know, you're kind of crazy. And yet it seems like there's conspiracies all the time, as far as I can see. And they talk about, the AP story talks about these different ones. Look at some of the claims that, like, he pays protesters, or, you know, he pays to transport protesters and different things like that. And then you look at the Washington Examiner piece, and their headline says, George Soros, 89, is still on a quest to destroy America. And I know that this shows probably just my whacked out way of looking at things, but, you know, when I look at it, you know, the AP story to me is written almost by the George Soros buddies, and the Examiner, well, I think you can get some actual truth there. Or I guess I should say the Washington Times is what I should say. And, you know, they go through and talk about, here's the questions they ask about George Soros. Who else can we listen to his words in Davos, Switzerland, track his funding of American political races, and pay attention to what he says about President Donald Trump, capitalism, and the leftist causes he backs, and the leftist Open Society Foundation he runs, and come to any other conclusion? You know, in other words, the conclusion that before he dies, he's going to see the internal destruction of America, is what they say. They go on, they say, in the last few years, Soros has taken to trying to, gone to trying to take over local law enforcement agencies by pumping massive amounts of money into candidates he favors in key district attorney races. Politico reported this back in August of 2016. They call it the quiet overhaul of the U.S. justice system. Now, it must be important because, you know, the president mentioned that the number of different judges that have been either confirmed or will be confirmed by the time of the election. Do you remember that from his rally, Sam?
Yes, and I look at this whole thing and say, so if George Soros and his involvement is just a big old conspiracy theory and none of these things are happening, my question then is, how did the Veritas people do that, you know, in-depth, detailed, inside reporting? And how are the New York Times and the Washington Post and everybody else reporting on his financial investments and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? How can they claim this is a conspiracy, Kurt, when the evidence is in their own rags, their own newspapers? I just don't get it. Except for, I'll tell you how it is. All you got to do is lie and say it's a conspiracy over and over and over and over. Report the truth. So if you ever say you're not reporting the truth, they go, oh, yeah, we are. We did. But then, you know, when the truth shall set you free, you got to tie the truth together. So all these facts does mean that President Barack Obama and George Soros and others have tampered in our elections and tampered in our political process for quite some time. It's obvious. It's not a conspiracy theory. But see, what they want to do is just say it's a conspiracy theory. George Soros, 89. Is still on a quest to destroy America, says Cheryl Chumley. They're making it sound like, oh, he's so old, he couldn't even be doing this. Come on. And then they say George Soros conspiracy theories surge as protests sweep the USA. AP. But you look at this and you go, well, how can it be any other way, Kurt? The New York Times, the Washington Post is the ones documenting all this money trail. So are they all lying? Are they all involved in the conspiracy? Is the New York Times and the Washington Post, Kurt, involved in the conspiracy? So at some point, they're just dishonest, and they know that their headlines manipulate people, and people don't know the truth. Anyway, any more on this George Soros thing? It's amazing how they document that it isn't a conspiracy, that it's fact. But then they lie in their headline and say it's a conspiracy.
I think one of the other things to take away on this story is that George Soros, you know, is, I mean, he believes in the principles that he stands for or whatever, and he's willing to put his money, millions of it, into where he, you know, feels it will give him the best bang. The New York Times reported that it says Soros adds intrigue and $800,000 to the DA race You know, in other words, he understands the power of the courts and the things like that. And so I guess if you ask me, we learned from, I guess you could say, our enemies or our opponents. And, well, we've got to be willing to put our treasure, our efforts to maintain freedom, or at least to try to push back against the enemies of freedom, wouldn't you say, Sam?
Yes, but again, folks like George Soros couldn't even do what they're doing, ladies and gentlemen, if we had honest constitutional currency. But Nolte highlights this. What's his name, Kurt? John Nolte?
Yeah. Yep.
Anyway, and he highlights this in a very tongue-in-cheek way to make a point. Does a great job, Kurt.
Yeah, his article is How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love Deficit Spending. And he says, the national debt just topped $26 trillion with a T, and I could not care less. That $26 trillion puts every single American in debt to the tune of $76,000, and I could not care less. That $26 trillion puts every single American household in debt to the tune of $202,000, and I could not care less. You know, and he goes on, he says, our country is spending $1 billion a day on interest payments alone, and I couldn't care less. So, you know, then he brings up that song, remember, he says, so help me, Rhonda. I spent decades worrying about national debt and deficit, even when I was a liberal Democrat. It's kind of interesting about that. He said, I thought it was insane for our country to spend more money than it was taking in. During the late 90s, when then-President Bill Clinton and then-House Speaker Newt Gingrich put an end to deficit spending, I was thrilled. And then along came President George W. Bush and his wars that spent trillions of dollars we didn't have to liberate people who did not want to be liberated, and trillions of dollars we didn't have rebuilding countries that didn't want to be rebuilt. And then came President Barry Obama, he says, who spent trillions of dollars on, and he says, what the heck did he spend all that money on? And then he brings up, you know, President Trump is carrying on the legacy, and he says, I surrender. For 2 years between 2017 and 2019, Republicans were in charge of the House, Senate, and White House, and still the crazy deficit spending was crazy. Still the national debt exploded, and I just don't care anymore, he says. Don't get me wrong, I still don't think it's a good idea for a country to spend $26 trillion with a T. It doesn't have, but as I get older, I'm getting a little more philosophical about things, he says, especially things I have no control over. When you hand Republicans full control of the federal government, and the federal government still spends like a drunken sailor with a stolen American Express card in a high-class house of ill repute, I'm out. I'm done, he says. So anyway, you know, and then he goes and asks a number of other questions, but at the end he says, just leave my Medicare and Social Security alone. Even if you don't, I'm covered. You see, I save my money. I'm by no means rich, but I do have enough squirreled away to point and laugh until I'm 97. And I was able to squirrel all that money away because deficit spending kept my taxes low. John Nolte. There you go, Sam.
It is a tongue-in-cheek article, and it makes the point in some poignant ways. I'll tell you that right now. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use in seconds continues on your favorite LovingLiberty.net radio station.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
All right, Kirk, Kevin McDermott's in the news.
Well, this is an area where I'm a little bit fuzzy about this whole thing, how
that
works.
Then you better do some studying before you bring that up, Kirk.
Well, here's the headline from the St. Louis. Yeah, I know. But anyway, it's from STL Today, so that's stlouistoday.com, and the headline reads, McDermott, : I admit it. I'm the deep state double agent helping Trump save America.
Kevin McDermott?
Well, he says, I am Q. I've been posing as a mild-mannered newspaper columnist, but I'm really the high-level U.S. government official previously known only by my code letter. I guess that's Q. I'm the one who has been... very good. He says, I'm the one who has been working with President Donald Trump to counter the deep state coup that threatens all patriotic Americans. You, it says, my QAnon followers, have wondered about my true identity. Well, there it is. So what I thought you might do, Sam, is try to, clear up some of the confusion that might be around this whole
Q very simple.
Thing.
Word pseudonym comes to mind, Kurt, and Q is a pseudonym, okay. Or QAnon is a pseudonym for somebody who supposedly leaks government information to us. And so that goes by Q, and Q has been feeding information to the blogosphere for quite some time now, and some people believe it's real, some people believe it's fake, some people believe it's real but dishonest, some people believe that it's actual fact, some people believe all kind of things about Q. But because it's a pseudonym, you don't know really who's doing it, and you don't know what the real agenda is, but the bottom line is Q or QAnon has been out for a long time, meaning several years, and people have been reporting on it and writing books about it and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And now supposedly we're supposed to believe it's Kevin McDermott, but there's somebody overseas that's a musician named Kevin McDermott. There are people in the United States, I guess some football players named Kevin McDermott. So we don't really know who or what or how or where. But he says, quote, I admit it, I'm a deep state double agent helping Trump save America. Now, again, I don't know if it's true or not. I personally take Q with a grain of salt, Kurt. Why? Because when you go under a pseudonym and you don't know who somebody is, you don't know what their real agenda is. And some things that Q has said have come true. Other things that Q have said have not come true. And what Q says oftentimes is very coded or very cryptic. And so people are left to interpretation about what it means. And I think it's a big sidetrack, Kurt. I think there might be some truth to some of the Q leaks. But anything that's under a pseudonym you need to take with a grain of salt if it's of questionable origin or questionable details. If this Q person was real, I believe they'd be allowed to leak the data they're leaking. So when we say double agent, that's to say the least, that's the tip of the iceberg. I don't think that you can trust any person that goes under a pseudonym, unless what they claim is of such constitutional character or moral character that it's beyond debate the claims made. So, when you look at the Founding Fathers, they wrote under pseudonyms, but everything they said were honest and good, stable truths being told. Fundamental educational, okay, Q isn't like that. Q is sometimes right, sometimes wrong, sometimes good, sometimes bad, sometimes trustworthy, sometimes not, sometimes so cryptic you're not really sure, and you're always waiting for the next shoe to drop for Q to release something that'll clarify everything, but it never seems to happen. So I don't believe that Q is going to come out as Kevin McDermott, first of all. Secondly, I do believe there are a lot of people that are trying to help Trump save America. And there's a lot of people in the swamp that support Trump behind the scenes more than we hear. There's a lot of betrayers as well. And so to separate the fact from fiction on this, there's not a lot of fact here, Kurt. That's the problem. And because of the pseudonym, I don't know that we can ferret out what's true and what's not. For example, Q said for some time that we expect all kinds of indictments to come down to literally, behead the deep state. And hey, any moment the indictments will come down and the deep state will be beheaded and Trump will win and be successful. I pray that's true, but I haven't seen it. They say it and say it and say it. But see, I've heard these kinds of statements literally my whole political life cycle over 30 years, Kurt. And I just see every time we hear that the sky is going to fall, the economy is going to melt down, this is the last election in history, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and it never comes true. So when we pick timing and we pick hard details, there's a credibility crisis that precedes Q. And I bring that up because I don't know that I believe Kevin McDermott is Q. And if so, maybe Kevin ought to call me. But I really take a lot of this with a grain of salt, Kurt.
Very good, Sam.
Any other tidbit from you on that?
Not anything. I'm good there. I just wanted to know.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that I have the definitive. Again, I don't know, yeah. Kevin. I'm not a deep state insider. I don't have the facts either. And I'm not saying that I have the facts. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is when somebody's under pseudonym, and I don't know who they are, then it's impossible for me to know their agenda. That's number one. Yeah. Number two, when they make claims that some come true, some don't come true, some seem accurate, some seem not, some seem right, but the timing seems to be off, I start to say, you know what, I just don't know. Some are so cryptic that it takes interpretation. Everybody's waiting for clarity. I just can't trust a reliable source like that. I'm a news guy, Kurt. I'm a who, what, when, where, why guy. And if I can't get who, because it's a pseudonym, I don't know if it's Kevin McDermott or not. Who, when, the timing seems to be off. A lot of claims that Q has made, timing-wise, hasn't worked out. But sometimes they still come true. I think that there's information that's true in Q's posts, but I don't know that they're reliably true, right? So who, you know, what, when, where, you know, again, supposedly these indictments are coming down. I pray it's true. I've been hoping for a long time that these criminals in the swamp go to prison. But the only thing I see in prison are the good guys, and the bad guys run around free. I mean, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton are running around, and they created Al-Qaeda, according to the President of the United States of America. They're running around free, but my poor guy, Steve Stockman, that tried to stop the criminal IRS and Lois Lerner, he's in prison. See? Okay, the people that shot Vicky Weaver, Lon Horiuchi, and those guys, they're running around free. The people that killed Lavoie Finicum are running around free. Poor Finicum's dead. Ammon Bundy had to serve in prison for 2 years. And at the end of the day, a jury and the judge said the government's criminal in this, man. Stop. Let him free. Okay, so again, I don't really see, you know, Kevin McDermott or Q laying out the truth that, hey, the good guys are going to be free and the bad guys are getting arrested and the deep swamp's going to be beheaded. I don't see it. In fact, the swamp seems to be getting deeper and wider by the second, if you ask me. The Nolte story headline, How I Learned to Stop Worrying, and love deficit spending kind of highlights the point I'm making, which is, hey, our deficit spending is up to $26 trillion, and no one's even batting an eye worried about it, it seems. When will that end? When will somebody call a halt to the con game on that sucker? OK, we'll tell you tomorrow they're going to, you know, go ahead and shut down the Federal Reserve there. My response is, I'll believe it all when I see it. That's all I'm telling you. So I don't mean to be negative to Q, because I don't know. But I also don't mean to be positive, and I'm not endorsing Q either. I'm just saying that, you know what? You got to take it with a grain of salt when you don't know who, what, when, where, why. The newsman in me says that's a disaster to double down on when you don't have the facts on who, what, when, where, what. You can't double verify anything. You can't second, third source anything. For a newsman, a real newsman, that drives you bonkers. And it makes you say, I'm not touching it with a 10-foot pole. So that's kind of the story. These are the top 10 most popular U.S. states if you want to live in a tiny home, Kurt.
Well, yeah, and by the way, Sam, they say a tiny home is defined as 400 square feet or less, I guess.
You want to know how I define a tiny home?
Yeah.
Depends on how many people are in it, Kurt.
That's right.
Because in my house, when I had all my kids that were young, there was 10 of us, me and my wife and 8 children.
Yep.
And we had a 2,300 square foot home, which sounds like, hey, that's decent sized. But when you have 10 people in it, it's 230 square foot per person. It's not huge by any means. And so it all depends on how many people you have in it. But I understand their point. Under 400 and something square feet, it's a tiny home. It's about the size of a hotel room or smaller, right?
I think that's right. And so do you want number 10 and down?
Sure.
Or do you want number 1 and up?
No, 10 and down.
All right. So
one being the best or the most supportive of tiny homes, right?
Apparently.
Okay, yeah. So 10 first.
And this is from Business Insider. So number 10 happens to be Utah. Yeah, number 9.
Wow, hold on. Have you ever seen a tiny home in Utah, Kurt?
No, I...
So, well, I mean, you know, I know we're in the top 10 out of 50, but yet I don't know where you can even find one of these tiny homes.
They say Home Advisor found 1,613 photos tagged in Utah, or roughly 3% of all photos scrapped by the home improvement website in the U.S. So, you know, that was in Utah. So, anyway, that's what they say. I just haven't seen them too much. New York is number 9. That really surprised me. But, you know, there's a bigger part of New York than, yeah, there's New York State, you know. Outside, they get some freedom there. North Carolina, number 8. Arizona, number 7. Then you have Washington.
9
was New York.
8?
And 8 was North Carolina.
Okay, second. 7,
Arizona. 6 is Washington. That kind of surprised me.
Again, Washington is one of those anomaly states, though. You go to Seattle and it's whacked out as all get out. But yeah. You go to the east side and it's a lot more like an extension of Idaho than anything else, as far as I can tell, Kurt.
Well, plus, you know, this is kind of the environmental movement, Sam. So 5 is Oregon. You know, and that's part of the environmentalist, save the earth kind of people. 4 is Texas. 3, Colorado, 2, Florida, and number 1, they say, is California. So, they say the Golden State's the most popular U.S. state for the tiny living movement, according to the report, with nearly 15.5% of the total post scrapped. You know, now, I just think that they're probably kind of messed up on their numbers based on how many people are in those places. They should, you know, change it based on that. But I just thought I'd bring up the story because to me it's kind of interesting, the whole tiny home idea, or less is more, you know, that kind of thing. And people getting out of maybe the big cities and, you know, getting a little more freedom. I just thought it was kind of an interesting, I guess you could say, side piece to what we usually do.
Yeah, it's certainly interesting, too, to contemplate a little bit about, you know, when we define these homes or whatever you want to say, Kurt, about 400 feet or whatever. The more expensive a community is to live, the more people need to do tiny homes just to survive. So I'm not surprised in that sense that New York and California are the top states, just because they're, you know, in a lot of ways you go, man, how do you even live there? And the answer is a tiny home is the only way you can do it. Sacrifice on square footage. So I don't know that it's as much of it is a positive thing as much as it sounds, right? Now, if people are choosing tiny homes because they want to be environmentally friendly, or they want to just, you know, save money.
Most of them, they don't have any kids anymore, so they just have a dog, you know, or a cat, so then they can, you know, squeeze into a small
place. Yeah, a lot of them want to just get out of debt, so it's like, I'll have a tiny home that I can pay off. You know, I get a lot of those things, and I support those things. But it's just interesting, and I want to learn more about the movement. I want to support the movement. I personally would love to build a subdivision of tiny homes. But, of course, how do you get that done, Kurt, when 80-plus percent of the land in Utah is owned by the feds or the state or the county? And then even if you find a big piece out in the country, 100, 200, 300, 400, 500 acres, they say, well, you can't make pieces smaller than 50 acres. So now I've got a tiny home on 50 acres? Wow.
Great point.
All right, 2 hours in the can, ladies and gentlemen. Hard-hitting talk always at your fingertips with Sam and Kurt on the radio. We are live 6 days a week, by the way. And if you want archives, libertyroundtable.com is our website for the show. Nationally syndicated by lovingliberty.net. Lovingliberty.net with online and on-demand radio. Live and on-demand at your fingertips, I should say. They got apps Android and iPhone, available now as well to listen to your heart's content. It's free, but if you want to have the heart help and you want to donate, every penny will be used to grow our presence in the media as we bring to you news the networks refuse to use. For Sam and Kurt, we declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we will save America. This nation shall endure. LovingLiberty.net. God save the Republic of the United States of America.